And welcome back to Reaction Cast. It's your host Jesus, aka Tyrant Dominus, here to give you another movie review. This time around, we're going to be talking about The Eternals. This is a huge film directed by Chloe Zhao. And it's the third film in the Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And one of the, besides some of the big, like combined, like, Avenger films, it is, like, one of the biggest star-casted, like, standalone films in a while. It's kind of your... Because the group of the Eternals are a very interesting group of individuals. As sort of... And not a lot of people know them in, like, the average Joe. Like, I personally did not know. If I didn't do research before the movie, like, watch YouTube videos or read articles, I had no idea who the Eternals are. So this is kind of like a new Guardians of the Galaxy type of level stuff, where you get a bunch of these new individuals that you have no idea who they are, and Marvel has to kind of let you, like, all right, get know these characters and see if you love them, right? And on top of that, you know, it doesn't hurt that this is a well-starred cast. You got, let's see here, if I mispronounce them, my bad. Gemma Chang as Cersei, Richard Madden as Icarus, Angelina Jolie as Athena, Selma Hayek as Ajax, Kit Harington as Dan Whitman, Kumail Nanjiani as Kingo, Lee McHugh as Sprite, Brian Three Henry as Fastos. Did I hear his name properly in the film? Maybe I didn't hear his name a lot. Lauren Ridloff as McCary? Did I not hear him either? Barry Kuhan as Druid. Ma Dong Suk. Wait, no, that's not right. How the heck do you pronounce that? Google, pronounce this for me. How do you pronounce his name, actually? I do. I like this actor, too. The guy who played Gilgamesh, actually. How do you pronounce his name? My bad if I'm taking a little bit of time before the review. I actually like this actor. How do you pronounce his name? There it is. Pronounce. How do you pronounce? Oh, I love YouTube videos that make you just, like, learn how to pronounce it. God, dumb ads. Just give me the video. Duke song? What the fuck? Maduk song? What the fuck? I hope I'm saying that right. Maduk song? Whatever. My bad. But, like I said, that's a huge cast. And a lot more, actually. Once you dive in a little bit deeper. But yeah, it's like, you're being... That's a long intro just to get to this far. But like I said, it's a big cast. It's a 2.5-hour movie to introduce 10 individuals. It's an origin film of the Eternals. An origin film of the universe, of the Marvel Universe, for the most part. And surprisingly, they did a reasonably decent job kind of like explaining stuff. So the way the premise of the film, without going into spoilers, there will be an after credits. There are two after credits, as normal for Marvel movies, but there will be an after credits for this episode as I talk about a bunch of the spoilers that I really want to get out of my head. So look forward to the after credits. But for now, the simple premise of the film that was given to us through the trailer and stuff is that it's been 5 years since the snap, since Thanos did his thing. There's something called the Emergence happening, and the Eternals have to do something about it. And so everyone's kind of been split off, doing their own thing for a couple thousand years. You know, the simple premise of the Eternals, outside of just like simple like Marvel lore, is that they're being sent to Earth to kind of help protect humans from the Deviants. And you know, they stay on the planet until their mission is complete, you know, and so you wait and see. And for the most part, they're not really allowed to do much outside of that. They're not allowed to interfere with humans or human conflict. They're just supposed to do their job and defeat Deviants. The film does a reasonable job kind of giving every actor, every character, their time to shine. And like I said, it does a reasonable job trying to explain a lot of the lore that they're trying to give us. For sure, I would say some of the standout performances, in my opinion, were Cersei's. And for sure, Cersei's, she's kind of like your main follow, but she does a really good job. For sure, comedy is Kingo, played by Kumail Nanjiani. Comedy, man, this film does a reasonable job with its comedy, that it's not forced in. It's played really well throughout scenes, and it's like reasonable in there. You get a human counterpart in there, where, because these are like immortal beings, right? So there is a human character in there that gets to be like our eyes and ears in a sense, and they play a fun role as well. But for sure, the jokes in this film, actually, like the comedy, like, works well. It's not forced. It had the crowd in my viewing like laughing for sure. For the most part, the overall plot was interesting. It makes you wonder what's going to be coming in the near future of the franchise of the Eternals. Some of the subplots that we're working in, and some of like the villains and antagonists, whatever you want to call them, that's a little bit iffy here, because for the most part, the build of the entire film and kind of the plot, it works well, in my opinion, until like the final act. There's only one thing in like just I just didn't feel worked, and that's kind of like the final like conclusion, like the reveals and stuff like that. That was like, okay, that makes sense. There's a lot of things, and some people are going to be like, why did that person do that, or what was the point of this? There's a lot of context, and I'll get to that in like the after credits, because that would be spoiling a lot of the movie. But for the most part, just going for film wise, like all the shots were really great, well done. All the audio was pretty average for a Marvel movie. When I say average, Marvel movies for the most part have really good audio, so it's, you know, you know what you're getting. Visuals, a lot of their visual abilities were really great. For sure, you can tell they did not skimp on the special effects budgets, and in the years coming from the original Iron Man to now, like, special effects have done such a great, and for sure it showcases with all their abilities here. For sure, the character who's the beats, or what's their name again, Makari, like their speedster ability, the way they visualize that, that's really cool. I like that. It made it look like, oh man, I wish they did that with the Flash a little bit. They did a good job with that. It looks a lot better than when they did it with Quicksilver back in Age of Ultron. But for sure, like, everyone's abilities looked really great and interesting, and I liked the diversity that that every character had. For the most part, there's really nothing really big to complain about the movie. And like, like, the film does a decent job trying to explain a lot. Like I said, this film, these characters aren't very well known. And from my understanding from watching a lot of videos, it's not very well known in the comic book universe as well. They're not really used a lot. They are very powerful beings, but for the most part, they're not really allowed to do anything unless the Celestials tell them, like, hey, do your job. So, you're kind of put in the on the bench for the most part, and it's interesting. I was hoping we'd learned a little bit more, but you do get some interesting additional lore and some fun stuff for sure. The after credits help so much in this one to say, like, oh my god, this is gonna get crazy. But no, yeah, the overall fun film, a lot of action, good comedy, good visuals, like a lot of the shots, a lot of the flashback shots too of them in doing their stuff in the past and how they kind of interacted with individuals and kind of hinted at different things at the evolution of people. So for sure, this was an intense film. Mostly when you have to really get so many people, so many casts, so many characters on a screen. My only other complaint was I wish there was more Kit Harington on there. He was in there, not as much as I thought, but for the most part, I feel he'll be playing more in the future. But besides that, no, good, reasonable, good film. I like, there's a lot I want to say, but that's kind of in the spoilers, so I'm gonna just talk about that in the after credits. So yeah, so let me know what you guys thought. If you're listening to this on Spotify, there's a comment down below. There's a little question. It lasts for about 2 weeks, so let me know what you guys thought about the movie. The one with the most interesting, like, not one that, like, I maybe don't agree with, but one of the most interesting ones, I would pin it to the top. But I do like reading them and letting you guys know what you guys thought about it. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, there is a question posted below. Let me know what you guys thought. If you do not listen on Spotify, if you're listening to on the other podcast platforms, shoot me a comment on my Instagram or Twitter, wherever I post this. Or if you are watching this on YouTube, leave a comment down below. Like I said, I really enjoy talking about this stuff, for sure. So I'm going to be going into the after credits. So if you guys don't want any more information, oh yeah, I never get my rating right. I'm going to give this movie a solid 8 out of 10. It's a great film. There's a couple things that for sure I need to want to talk about. That's going to be in the after credits. But for sure, it's a solid 8 out of 10 film for what you go in and come out with. Because, boy, I sat for the last hour and a half wanting to take a piss, and I did not leave my seat just because the movie flowed so well. 8 out of 10. So if you're not gonna listen anymore and you're just gonna go watch the movie already, thank you again for listening. If you're gonna listen to the after credits, wait one moment, it's gonna happen in a moment. But thanks again for listening. Until next time. And welcome to the after credits. And remember, this is spoilers now, so if you're at your own fault if you're listening to this. So we're gonna kind of go beat by beat a little bit, not 100%. So a few things that I'm gonna note: the way they handled the deviants and everything. So they did a reasonable job as far as my understanding as Eternals and deviants are concerned, explaining how they're similar and different. So the Eternals turn out to be these non-biological beings created by the Celestials. And apparently they didn't know that. Apparently what's happening with the Emergence. So this is the basic plot of what's happening. The Emergence is an instance when, what's the name of the main, Summer Hayek, who plays Ajax, the leader of the Eternals, Arshim. There he is. their leaders, the Celestial Arshim, sends kind of like celestial seeds for new Celestials to be born that take millions or billions of years to cultivate on planets. And what happens is that they need kind of the sustenance of intelligent life. And so it's a job. Originally, the Deviants were sent by Arshim to these planets to kind of help develop, but then he kind of lost control of the Deviants, so he sent and he created and then sent the Celestials to kind of defeat the Deviants. He kind of like fucked up. He kind of just messed up an experiment. Like, ah, fuck, I fucked up. Plan B, I'll send these guys. And so it kind of becomes like this is extermination. So basically, the Eternals are exterminators of the fuck up that happened before. And so they're stuck on this planet until the Emergence has to happen and the next Celestial is supposed to be born. So basically, the Earth is a giant womb with a Celestial baby inside ready to get born. So we're kind of all fucked. And the only ones who apparently know are in the beginning of the film is apparently Ajax, the leader. But it turns out actually the only other person who knows this is actually Icarus as well, because Icarus turns out to be the bad guy. And I'm like, holy shit, he's the bad guy? Oh, okay. So he knew too, and he like fucking killed Ajax. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it's this weird, weird thing. I understand what they did, and a lot of people might not like this, but they are still following their leader's like orders. Like they're following the celestial Arshim's like orders. Like do this, and you know, do the next thing. And because once they finish their mission and they move on, their memories get wiped, and they do it again. And they've been doing this over and over and over. And something about Earth kind of gets some of the other Eternals like, you know, I love this planet, I love the peoples, I kind of want to do something. But that kind of goes against the orders of Arshim. So that's kind of where you get like the betrayal of Icarus, like fucking killing Ajax, and then kind of misleading in a sense the rest of the team while they're trying to gather everyone together. And you know, as everyone starts to learn the truth and stuff like that, like okay, now we have to figure out how we're gonna stop the Emergence. Some of the stuff, because it kind of felt like they were really painting Athena as the villain in a sense, because she had this weird like sickness. But they did an interesting job with her character. And for sure, man, all the deaths that happened in this, I was not expecting. Like when we saw Ajax die, when we saw Gilgamesh die, like holy shit. And some of the things I didn't like the whole deviant thing was kind of cool, but once you got the intelligent deviant, like they really didn't do too much about it, because you could see as the one leader deviant that was still around started absorbing the abilities of the Eternals and gaining more sentience, more intelligence. I wanted to see more from it. Like I wish it kind of got away and it was gonna start plotting something, but no, they kind of fucking killed it. Athena killed him, and I was like, I kind of was hoping more. It would have been interesting if it killed Athena, took her powers, because then she would have Ajax, Gilgamesh, and Athena's powers, and that would have been interesting as a future villain. But it would have been like some like very plotting like deviant next level thing that would have been cool, but they kind of killed him off. So we just kind of got this one and like sort of interesting character that villain that just kind of like was there and then gone. It was there for like a battle sake, but for the most part it did its job. It's like I just was hoping for a little bit more development from that character. The Icarus thing, that was interesting because you had this whole like weird love thing that was going between Cersei and Icarus for years. Then you can see what they were trying to do. You could see that Ajax was trying to like help develop the relationship between Cersei and Icarus. So then, because Ajax could see how much she loved the people on this planet, or how much Cersei's liked the people of this planet, so maybe that they can see why Ajax passed down the leadership to Cersei's. And then she was hoping probably that the love that Cersei's had for the people would help develop with Icarus, but it's not, because he's still like fucking betrayed them. And I'm like, oh shit, okay. The way they kind of, the final act where they're trying to stop the emergence, and Sprite, like the whole Sprite thing was interesting, because there was this weird love triangle happening with these immortals, where Cersei's loved, like Cersei's loved Icarus, Icarus loved Cersei's, but then after they broke up, Cersei was trying to find her own thing, but it seems like still, Icarus still loved Cersei's, but then apparently it turned out that Sprite for the longest time loved Icarus. It's a whole thing, and you can see it and you can see what's happening, but it's a lot to build up when you're this weird love triangle happening. But man, does it pay off at the end when Sprite fucking like literally backstabs Cersei's, and I'm like, holy shit, oh my god. But then one of the funniest moments, like funniest moments, oh, what's the name of the character? The character, is it that, Icarus? Where is it? Droog? Is it Droog? The guy who manipulates minds. When he like just beats the back of the head with a rock at Sprite, it's like the funniest thing. It's like, are you serious? And like, you know, that's fucking funny. I love it. Some people might like that, but it's actually fucking funny. It made me laugh. Oh shit. All right. But yeah, you get this whole thing where they kind of, because Cersei's ability to transmutate different like things, because I think she is one of the most like very amazing powers out of the group. Like some people can shoot lasers out of their eyes, fly, like heal, control minds, but she literally can turn anything to almost anything. She has transmutation powers, and she's like fucking crazy. So basically the plan is to somehow stop the Eternal by transmuting it into something. She like fucking turns it into a block of ice. It's like, okay, I see you. And the thing about from beginning to end, and the betrayals you get and why it happens, for me, I did not like how Icarus like concluded. Like he went literally to the sun, Icarus, the boy who flew too close to the sun and burned alive, or his wings melted and burned. He literally flew into the sun to die, and I was like, literally, I was hoping he would still, it wasn't as satisfying for his conclusion. It just didn't feel satisfying for Icarus, because you knew what he was doing. Like he was following orders, and I wish he stuck to his guns and tried to stop it, and Cersei's had to like kill him to have that weird like dark satisfaction where like, I'm sorry, I loved you, but I need to protect the people and the rest of the family I love. But he kind of stops, and everyone joins the Unimind and gains all their powers together to have Cersei's have her ultimate power. And I just like that thing. That's the only thing I just didn't really. That's really the only thing I just didn't like, was the conclusion. The other thing was because they had they were gonna have Keith Harrington as Dane Whitman, who, you know, is basically the Dark Knight, or the Black Knight, I mean, not the Dark, he's Batman. Also all the fun references they were making to Superman, Batman, that was so funny. I was not expecting that, actually. I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, are you Superman? Like, it just makes you say, like, oh, do they have DC Comics on the Marvel Universe? What? Oh god, that is that's funny. You never know, there might be some multiversal crossover, you know. No, it's not, but it'd be fucking funny if it was. But no, he was playing Dane Whitman, and we know everyone, for the most part, who has either watched or used a video or anything or paid online, he's the Black Knight. And I thought he was gonna get a bigger role when Cersei's happens, but he really just gets this weird end credits. He gets the final end credits. I'll talk about that one before I talk about the after credits one, the mid credits one, because the after credits one is, you see, because Arishem shows up at the end of the finale, and like, holy shit, he's back on this planet. What is he doing? Like, oh my god, is he gonna like fucking like destroy the planet? Or I thought it was like for a second, like, is Galactus showing up? Oh my god. But Arishem shows up, and he's like, his face is in the sky, and like, oh my god, you can see the scale of the one of the oldest celestials just looking down on the planet, and it's pools the remaining celestials that are on the planet, because apparently some of the other ones leave the planet to find the other Eternals. And you know, he's like, you know, I'm gonna pass judgments after I review all your memories from the past 7,000 years. And just leaves, and like, holy shit, the people are panicking. The Black Knight, I forget his name, Dane Whitman, like, oh my, or Dane Whitman, like, oh my god, what happens to Cersei? I gotta help her, because he's about to reveal his identity as the Black Knight. And I'm like, oh, and you kind of get his final, his end credits is where he's, like, about to wield the, not the Obsidian Blade, is it Obsidian? I think it's the Obsidian Blade, because he's the good, Ebony Blade, he has the Ebony, but yeah, because he is the, he's the good Black Knight, not his, like, his predecessor, who's like the evil Black Knight. He gets passed along this very day. But yeah, it's like, he has to decide, is he ready to wield the Ebony Blade? And we get this voice at the end, and nobody knows who that voice is, and they're not saying who it is. Everyone's saying it might be Nick Fury, but I don't think so. I have a feeling it's like another character that no one would really think about, and only those who knew who the Black Knight is. And I think it's Merlin. And if it's Merlin, oh my god, this is gonna be so great moving forward. Because he makes references to Doctor Strange, magic, and everything. It has to be Merlin. That's the only thing I can think. Because I don't think he's in London. I don't think Nick Fury, because he was there during a few things, but I don't think that's Nick Fury's voice. Like, I probably spent half an hour re-listening to that audio. Like, whose voice is that? But I have a feeling it's Merlin. I think it's Merlin, ready to help Dane train to fully utilize the Ebony Blade and become the Black Knight. I'm wondering what they're gonna do with that. And then the mid-credit scenes. Oh, that one was spicy. So that one had me. Ooh. So this one was crazy, because you got to see Pip and Eros, brother of Thanos, Star Fox. I did not foresee. I knew Star Fox was gonna come, Eros of Titan. I knew he was gonna come, and I just didn't know if it was gonna be during. I didn't feel he's gonna show up in Eternals 1. I thought he's gonna probably show up in Eternals 2. And like, when he showed up in that end credits, and with Pip, voiced by Patton Oswalt, and the end credits of Harry Styles as Eros, I was like, oh shit. For a second, like, whose face? It bugged me so much, because I was just so frazzled that they had Star Fox. They brought him, and he had his costume and everything. And then, like, after I found out, holy shit, it's Harry Styles. Because I knew he, everyone knew he was going to be in a Marvel film. You just didn't know who or what. So when it happened, it was like, holy shit, I was just so happy. It's so great to see another, like, big character enter the sphere of the Marvel Universe. So now you got Harry Styles, Eros, or Star Fox, whatever you want to call him, helping the rest of the Eternals find, go with the other Eternals, because there's other Eternals on the universe, because everyone has to do stuff, you know. And then Patton also is right, I'm double checking. I think it's Pitt. Come on, how'd you go? Look at this quick article. Man, it's just so crazy that they have the Eternals and style. Pip the Troll. There it is, Pip. Interesting fact is actually Patton Oswalt was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually. So, fun fact, never know. So I was like, okay. Wait, what is this? Okay, I'm double checking. This might be like, I'm kind of keeping an eye on everything. So this might be something. So, is it Blade? Apparently it might be the voice. It's being speculated that it might be, I'm going to mispronounce this person's name. Mahershala Ali. The actor who's cast to play Blade has an uncredited voice-only cameo in the post-credits. Is it really Blade? Oh god, is it? Oh man, I don't know. Like I said, I think it's Merlin. I don't think it's Blade, but if it's him, I gotta hear these voices. I gotta go back and hear if it is Blade. Oh my god. You got the Black Knight, you got Blade. It's gonna be crazy. So, yeah. So, there's so much more. Those are my thoughts about the after credits of the film. It's just so crazy. Those are some of my negatives. Thank you for listening. There's probably more. I'm probably gonna gather my my group of podcasts, movie talkers, and then go over an extended discussion. But yeah, thank you for listening. If you listened this far, I'm sorry for rambling, but yeah, it's just so much. I'm glad we're back at it again. Like, we're getting Spider-Man soon, and we had that trailer for Morbius. God, man, so much. So thank you again for listening. Until next time, see ya.